have some fun.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
Oh, I love that.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals.
Oh, how fun.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
The best double play combination in Stark County.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Let's go. Come on. Kenny.
What?
I'm pulling more overtime today than Brian Novak on a Friday night. They started me at 6 o'clock in the morning at Dunkin' on Cleveland Avenue. Shout out to everybody that joined us today for the great big finale. The finale rally is what we called it. We're still raising food awareness for the Stark County Hunger Task Force. We had a great morning today, but better yet, we had a great night last night. Hit it, Brian.
It's a victory Friday.
No, no. It's a coming out party for Dearness Johnson.
Oh, boy, that boy, he was good. AC would have been on losing his mind calling that game last night. 146 wow. yards in his NFL debut as a starting running back on Thursday Night Football for the world to see. How about that?
He's either really good or Denver's really bad. Take your pick.
Or can you put any running back behind the Browns' offensive line and make them a 100-yard rusher? Think about that,
it's
dude.
Hard to say, though.
I mean, that was impressive.
You've still got injuries on that line, though, Kenny.
Yeah, but Jed Wills was back last night. Again, we thought he wasn't going to play. He did. Conklin was out, so Hans stepped in. The rest of the line was the starters. And this dude was shaking and baking, moving and grooving and doing his thing last night.
We've said all along, Callahan's got to be the best offensive line coach in all of football. Forget about what league, all of football, right?
That's a great, great point. Brian, hit the highlights from Dearness Johnson from last night.
On first down, turns, gives. Dearness Johnson runs 30, 25. He's to the 20. He hurdles 15, and he's down inside the 15-yard line. It's time for the mid's red zone. A molto bene.
Nice.
And best imitation of Nick Chubb.
Dearness Johnson in the backfield from the 4. Why not? Give it to Johnson. He's off a rub hit. He going to the goal line. Touchdown. How about that? 75 yards. Lickety split. And he's going to give the ball, and here comes Dearness Johnson. He's to the 15. He's going to get there. He got to the 12. First down at the 12-yard line. 58 seconds left. Denver can't stop the clock.
Dynamite drop in there, Doug. How about that opening series, though? What did they go? Five plays in less than 3 minutes?
Dude. How about Kevin, as much as we got on Stefanski last week, let's give him some love, JT, because guess what? They won the toss and did not defer. He wanted the ball. He wanted to take the lead early and play from in front, and they took it 5 yards, 75 play, or what is it? 5 plays, 75 yards, 7-0 Browns, and I give him all the credit in the world for saying, we're going to go with our offense first today.
Absolutely. He made the game easy for the quarterback as well. Things that we've been talking about for the last 3 years. The difference is this. He still can't get out of his own way. He still wants to do things that probably aren't as easy as the things that were working. When they were running between the tackles, dude went off for 146 yards. He still gets in his own way. He still went for a fourth down conversion. And for all intents and purposes, Case Keenum should have been sacked. But he was good enough to get the first down and eventually led to that second touchdown, which is good. But again, wouldn't you rather have the chip shot field goal?
Nope.
Well, no, you're right, because I'll tell you why. Because it worked. But what we've seen in the past is odds are it usually doesn't work for this team.
Here's why I was okay last night with it. They were in front, JT. They were up 10-7. Okay, it's late in the third quarter. They're up 10-7. And if you don't get it, that Denver offense, yeah, they had just scored a touchdown, but still, it's not a great Denver offense. And you would have forced them to go 94 yards. So I liked that he stayed true to himself, whether we agree with him or not. That's his philosophy, right? You've got to be true to your core, man.
That's fine.
You've got to believe in what you're doing, regardless
Kenny,
of who's out there and
okay.
what the situation is.
That's
and he wasn't
fine.
At work.
I understand the concept. I understand why he wants to go for it. But the way he does it doesn't make sense. The dude is ripping off runs of 5, 10, 15 yards a pop, and yet you want to throw on that 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, whatever it is, Run the darn ball. Come on.
Yeah, but then on what they do on first down to score the touchdown, they fooled everybody, and the fullback that I don't even know his name caught a touchdown.
That's fine. When you do that on first down, you don't have to worry about going for it on fourth down. Again, my only concern is the fact that when they do go for fourth down, more times than not, they don't convert. So take the sheer points, take the sure thing, and kick those short field goals that are obviously shorter than an extra point. This dude's been money all year. Why wouldn't you?
Well, he did get one blocked yesterday.
I can't second guess him. I can't second guess him when he doesn't make it. If I don't second guess him when he does, I'm just saying.
Here's what he would have told you. Percentages
say
that question.
Percentages say kick the field goal. That's all I'm saying.
No, not his percentages. Not the new age analytic percentages. What they tell you is you're still only up by less than a touchdown if you kick that field goal. So by going for it, you go up by two scores. This is only it's a one-score game either way. If you don't get it, they kick a field goal, they tie the game. That's one score. If you do get it, they go down, get a touchdown, they take the lead. So you wanted a two-score lead at that situation,
Kenny,
and that's what the analytics tell you. Go for it.
We understand the analytics, but the percentages say that most times when they go for it on fourth down, they're not successful. So forget about analytics. Analytics are out of the equation when you're not successful when you try to attempt on going for it on fourth down. That's my only concern. I understand, and you're absolutely correct on what you're trying to say, to go up by two scores. We get that. But we also get this. This team isn't very good when they go for it on fourth down. Luckily, they went for it, and they converted.
Well, last night, I think the team they were playing had something to
that
do with it
be.
As well. Okay, and the fact whatever they were doing, they were able to move the ball, and that came in and was a, you know, he gambled last night, and it paid off for him, right? And he's being true to himself. Mm-hmm. I should have gambled yesterday. I should have listened to myself. Brian, roll the tape.
I like the Browns, their defense, rushing four against Teddy Bridgewater to find a way to win by at least 2 points. I've got this game. You ready for this? I've got the Browns winning this game 17-14 tonight.
Wow.
All right. How about that from yesterday? So that's called, in our business, that's called a Rudolph. And what we mean by that is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I hit that one on the nose, baby. 17-14, Browns win yesterday. I should have gambled. I should have called my bookie, Trevor, and said, Trevor, I want $1,000 on the Browns last night. Now, would I have ever done that before the game? Hell no.
No.
I don't have $1,000 to lose like that, but if I'm going to second-guess Kevin Stefanski, I'll second-guess myself and say, you should have bet and believed in yourself, Roadman.
Look, the other thing we said is, you win by 1 point, you win by whatever. And I obviously thought that Denver would come in and take this game because of the fact that the Browns were so beat up, and it's amazing watching this game. I mean, is this team just snake bit or what? Denzel Ward goes down in the fourth quarter. We have no idea how long he's going to be out. Every time these guys attempt to do anything, Kenny, I don't know what it is. A lot of people were, you know, pointing to that so-called country club training camp that they had. I'm not so sure I want to go all in on that because other teams have the same problems. Baltimore Ravens have a lot of injuries. They're in first place. They've only got one loss. There's something going on here. I can't put my finger on it. I don't understand it. Maybe it's conditioning. I don't know what it is. Soft tissue injuries with the ankle sprains, the hamstrings, the calf strains. I mean, come on. This is amazing. Had that game gone one more series, you probably would have lost another wide receiver, maybe another DB. Honestly, I mean, when you think about it, there were 19 guys, almost. Yeah. There might have been 20 before the game. And then Jay Glazer, I don't know where this came from, before the game, before kickoff, spoke to Baker Mayfield. He's got a broken shoulder in it, broken bone in his shoulder. Where'd this come from?
Obviously, he's had it for a while, but Glazer's tight with so many of these guys, and he gets that inside. By the way, the only guy shorter than Baker Mayfield may be Jay Glazer. That's a small dude. But anyways, he gets that information, and I'm like, damn. So you know what? Case Keenum, who played, 199 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions last night, didn't fumble, ran the offense. They adjusted it to him. 10 different receivers caught passes yesterday in the game. He may be quarterbacking this team for a couple of games.
Didn't look much different, did it, Kenny?
No.
The offense really didn't look much different. He managed the game. They didn't throw the ball down the field. And, again, we can't stretch the field. And maybe there's a problem with Odell Beckham Jr., and we'll get into that later. But the thing is, if he runs the same offense as a Baker Mayfield, why wouldn't you just shut down Baker Mayfield? And I got news for you. This may not be good for Baker Mayfield, and especially if he wants a big contract. Now, the Browns have to be sitting up in the front office going, you know what? For what it's worth, this dude on a $6 million contract, and I'm not saying they're going to sign him long-term in Case Keenum, but why would they offer Baker Mayfield anything north of $30 million a year, knowing that all they need to do is rely on their running game, rely on their short passing attack until teams can figure them out, or if teams are a lot better, and we think they are, than the Denver Broncos, then you're going to have to stretch the field. They're going to have some issues. They're going to have some problems, and they're going to have to figure out what direction they want to take, because I don't think there's any way they're going to offer Baker Mayfield anything north of maybe Ryan Tannehill, $33 million or whatever it is a year.
Here's what I will say. Look at me defending Baker Mayfield right here. You ready for this? Because you know me, I'm not a huge Baker guy, and I've been saying all season long, don't pay the guy more than $25 million a year, all right? Baker Mayfield, you saw him. He was nervous as all get out. He's biting his nails on the sideline thinking, come on, Case Keenum, don't do well. Don't make it look like I can't run this offense. He's biting his nails like LeBron used to, right? And I'm watching this, but you know what? You know who makes a huge difference to this offense?
Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry, man. I know it was only 5 catches for 37 yards, but all 5 of those catches, or at least 4 out of the 5, were big plays for a first down, move the chains, whatever it was, man. Jarvis makes it. He brings the energy, the juice to that offense. And guess what? You throw it near him, he's going to catch it, unlike Odell Beckham Jr., who can't catch it with one hand or two hands right now.
Yeah, there's something going on there. He's lost his confidence. He's lost his mojo. You can call it whatever you want, but there's something going on there. Don't know what it is. And I think what really affects him is the fact that every time he's got a ball coming his way, it's never on the money. He's got a layout for it, and every time he does, he stretches out, dives for a ball, hits down on that shoulder. Maybe it aggravates it. I don't know. You said yesterday, and I think you're onto something, he wanted to play under the national spotlight last night.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. If we can't catch him on bombs and he's out in the open running, you know, down the field, then it's evident that he's afraid to go over the middle. Maybe not afraid. That's probably a bad term. But he's thinking about it. You're hearing footsteps. You're what we used to call alligator arming these catches. He used to be great. I mean, the thing that he used to do the most of when he was with the New York Giants, he would hit that slant, that 2 steps across the middle, boom. He'd catch it and take it the distance. Now he can't even take it 2 steps and catch the ball.
How much do you think extending his arms to try and catch it is hurting him because of the, you know, the shoulder injury? Do you think there's that pain as he's extending to try and catch it or no?
It's not extending to catch it. It's what happens after you catch it. You catch the ball, but what happens? Now you're off balance, you land awkwardly, right? When you land and your arms are still outstretched, your shoulder's going to take the brunt of that. And it's just inevitable. And I think that's what happens. Every time there's a throw his way, it's either back shoulder, he's got to dive for it, it's never on the money, or he falls down and it hits him in the backside.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, he runs a route, and he's going to be open, and he slips and falls on his tush. And the ball doinks him right there.
Right.
I mean, it's like, are you serious? I mean, this guy, so maybe these 9 days off will benefit, because Landry left the game last night late too, but I guess he's okay.
He came back.
These will benefit Landry, OBJ, maybe Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward. Who gets hurt more, okay? Who gets hurt more?
Couldn't believe
it. Is it Denzel Ward, or was it Lonnie Chisenhall with the Cleveland Indians? Who do you think, if we looked it up, who had more injuries in a shorter period of time? Lonnie Chisenhall with the Tribe or Denzel Ward with the Browns?
If you take it into comparison, it's got to be Denzel Ward. You know why? There's a lot more baseball games in a season. It seems as though when Denzel Ward misses 2 or 3 games, it's a quarter of a season, right? When Lonnie Chisenhall would lose maybe 5 or 6 games, that's a week out of 162. It's nothing.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that dude, hey, love him to death because he's a hell of a cover corner. But anytime he's got to hit somebody or gets hit or has to stick his neck in there.
Barely hit the guy.
You hold your breath. Yeah. He never gets up. And you just shake your head, and it's like, my God, can't he stay? Maybe he's just a fragile dude. Maybe his bone, he didn't drink enough vitamin D milk when he was growing up or something. I don't know what it is with him.
It's a tough one because 2 years ago when he had the concussion issue, we understood why that happened. Okay,
yeah.
He stopped leading with his head. The concussion, it's gone away for the most part. Now you get these soft tissue every time he makes a move. You're either not conditioning, you're either not stretching. Maybe it's a lack of something in his diet, like you said. I don't know, but it's amazing because the play that he got hurt on was nothing.
No, it wasn't. You're just shaking your head. Hey, I'm out here at Memorial Stadium getting ready for the game tonight, right? Hoover's hosting Jackson. When I pulled up, JT, they were having their pep rally here, man.
Nice.
The kids were going crazy. The band, they were high-stepping it and everything like that. The football team was out here. Coach Baum was out here getting ready for the 91st meeting between Jackson and Hoover. There it is in this rivalry. And is this cross-country, guys, or is this the track team? Cross-country. I got the cross-country team out here.
Tell them to get running. Get going.
The coach is going to start him here, but JT, I've got a hoodie on. I wore my long johns tonight, and I got three guys with no shirts on out here running track.
Kenny, they're young. They don't care.
They don't feel it, man.
This is runner's weather, like Brian said.
Runner's weather. Okay, I know. Jim Johnson's grandson. Very nice. How about that? The legendary Jim Johnson. We got his grandson.
I want you to ask that coach right now. Is it true or is it not true that Todd Blackledge one time hit a softball from the football stadium to Dogwood Park, right into the pool?
All right. I've been told by my co-host to ask either one of you if you know that this is true. Todd Blackledge hit a softball. Where's it from, JT?
He hit it from the football field into the pool at Dogwood Park.
He hit it from here, the football field, into the pool at Dogwood Park. Is that accurate?
On the fly. On the fly.
On the fly, too. On the fly.
He could do it.
Yes. He said maybe that's true if he can hit it 600 feet.
If anybody can do it, Todd Blackledge would do it, darn it.
Yeah, if anybody can, it would be TB, right? Yeah, Todd Blackledge. So, yeah, these kids are running. They got shorts on, and the three dudes got no shirt. Then one of the other dudes on the team's wearing gloves. So I'm trying to figure out here. All right, three guys got shirts on. One guy's got gloves on. I got the hoodie on. The coaches, they're the smart ones. They're all covered up and everything, and the guy's got the stopwatch. He's going to tell them how fast or slow they are. This is a fun day out here, man. This, JT, best weekend of the year, man, right? 10th? Week of high school football, rivalry week.
Yeah.
We've got Jackson Hoover. We've got McKinley Maslin tomorrow. Other games for playoff seeding to win the Pac-7 for the Fairless Falcons. I mean, this is a fabulous weekend for us, dude.
It is a fabulous weekend, but I've got a question for you. Is there a better job in sports? Did you say it's the cross-country team?
Yeah, cross-country.
Is there a better job in all of sports than the coach of a cross-country team? All you do is you stand around with a stopwatch and say, go.
That's it.
That's all you do.
You're right. He just gave me a thumbs up. He said, yep, you're right. That's it. Ready? Go. And then you time him, and you're slow. You're fast. Pick it up. That's all you tell
him. You're the anchor.
Right? Yeah, you're the anchor. You're bringing us down. Light a fire. Come on, move it.
Sign me up for that gig.
Yeah, so that's a heck of a gig, man. Well, just stand around walking, probably picking his fantasy team on his phone or something right now while the other kids are running and stuff like that.
I'll tell you what else is easy, the kickoff cash word. This is easy to win $1,000.
It's time for kickoff cash.
All right. Side Johnny in the Asbury is juke. Like Southside Johnny in the Asbury jukes. The word is juke, J-U-K-E. Now go to WHBC.com. Submit that word for your chance to win $1,000. It's easy.
The Road Man and JT on 1480 WHBC.